Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, appreciate you guys tuning in. We go till 9 o'clock tonight. I want to welcome in Ben Golliver, who's with the Washington Post, national NBA writer. Ben, appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you for taking the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, you know, just down here in Orlando at the bubble, kind of in a hotel quarantine. I'm stuck here for the next 6 days or so. We got here yesterday, so just trying to hang out and keep sane.
Well, I do appreciate, and I'm sure this is for many calls that you're taking across the country, you put up on Twitter, every sports talk radio host. So how do you exercise if you're forced to quarantine for 7 days in a Walt Disney World hotel room at the NBA bubble? Looks like Ben, you put the camera in between the beds and you are pacing back and forth. Is that pretty accurate?
Look, man, I'm just trying to get my steps in, you know how it is, eight steps at a time back and forth across this room. You know, I'll be honest, there's been a lot of players kind of snubbing their noses at the accommodations and, you know, comparing it to the Motel 6 and all that. I'll say it's not that bad. You know, I guess I'm kind of like John Morant. He said he's not a silver spoon guy, you know, kind of keep it pretty simple. I'd say the food is kind of plain, but at least the servings are pretty big. The hotel room's spacious. There's AC. I got a nice bathroom and all that, so I'm hanging in there, no problem.
Ben, are you allowed, so let's say you want to go for a walk and get some fresh air around the hotel. Can you do that or no? You literally have to just be in the hotel room.
No, sir. So we have, as soon as we got here, we got green bracelets, and that's basically the signal to security that if they see us with that green bracelet, that means we haven't necessarily been cleared to go into the bubble and interact with players in any way. So they're mm-hmm. supposed to stop us and basically question us and potentially redirect us back to our room. If we are in a situation where we're violating that quarantine policy, our clock would restart. So if I tried to go out and, you know, walk around the little river, they'd say, okay, well, now you got to go, 7 days, start over. So
wow.
There's a lot of motivation to stay inside. I think you heard probably that one of the Rockets players, Bruno Caboclo, left his room. And they put him, you know, back into another 8 days of quarantine for doing that because he kind of broke the rules. So they're not playing around at all. We're getting tested every single night. They're putting stuff up our noses. They're taking saliva from our mouths. You know, we're getting the results the next day. And we got to continue to pass these tests for 7 straight days before we're going to be allowed out into the bubble.
Ben, how much of a concern you brought up? There's two players that actually came up today, Rashawn Holmes and, like you mentioned, Bruno Caboclo of the Rockets. How much, and I know for both of those, right? One was left to pick up food delivery, and another one was unintentionally left the bubble and just genuinely didn't know. How much is that just in itself an issue? Because all it takes is one player to have any kind of misstep. By the way, it's not like, I mean, the virus can potentially come into that bubble 30 days from now. I mean, we'll see what eventually happens, but let's just say it doesn't need any help. So, with that being said, how much of a concern is that, you know, here you have two players make two mistakes that could potentially have an effect on this NBA bubble, or is this kind of now the time period to correct any mistakes if they happen?
Well, they're certainly going to have to work out the kinks. I mean, part of the confusion, I think, is that this is a big, sprawling, you know, hotel resort with lots of different buildings and nice walking paths and, you know, various security gates, but it's a pretty big place. You know, it's spacious and there's not a lot of, there's really no one besides the NBA here. So I could understand why you might be able to like wander off course. And, you know, certainly I could see why players would want to order food, you know, like Rashawn Holmes did. I mean, I think ultimately they're going to, you know, learn the rules as they go. And the NBA has to strictly enforce this stuff. They can't look the other way because it does put everybody at risk. Remember, practices have already started. So
that's right.
You know, if one guy happens to break quarantine, he goes into practice, he could potentially infect his teammates, his coaches, and any opponents they get into with scrimmages that start next week. So the spread could be very rapid. We saw that with Major League Soccer. You know, they had 10 positive tests on the same team. The NBA is trying like heck to avoid that. And so far, the results have been pretty good. You know, they announced today that only two players tested positive since arriving in Orlando out of more than 300 who were tested. And both of those guys were kind of caught before they were able to, you know, go out and interact with their teammates. And so those two players are in isolation right now. So from that standpoint, that means they're starting where they wanted to start, which was a clean baseline, and hopefully they're going to be able to preserve that and nobody else gets sick.
Ben Golliver, national writer for the NBA with the Washington Post. Ben, I kind of, you know, this has been one of my curiosities. You mentioned the MLS there for a second. So I guess you could say how much, I don't want to just assume how much is the NBA watching the MLS, because I think every sports league is watching each other trying to gather as much data as they can. But what went wrong with the MLS that the NBA is trying to avoid? Like, what was the misstep of the MLS bubble that the NBA is, you know, obviously trying to make sure that they don't have, they don't make a similar mistake?
Yeah, it sounded like they had at least one positive test or someone that just kind of slipped through the cracks from the process when they were transitioning from their home markets to Orlando. And so who knows if that was, a false negative test where, like, it said you were okay, but you actually had it. Mm. Who knows if they just, you know, tested positive on that transit day and they just didn't have any symptoms. I mean, it's not totally clear how it got into the bubble. What the NBA tried to do, though, is have extensive weeks of testing to kind of prepare the players for all this and also reinforce the healthy messages about not going out in the public and doing everything possible. For anyone who did test positive initially, they were left home. They didn't join the travel parties. So guys like James Harden, Russell Westbrook, even like Nikola Jokic, I mean, all those guys were going to be late arriving for that particular reason. And then they've just been very, very diligent and strict about the messaging here. And when you see anybody on campus, they've got the masks on. It doesn't matter if they're staffers, if they're players, if they're hotel employees, everybody's got masks. There's signs everywhere. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. There's wet wipes that you can kind of pick up, at various spots. I mean, it's clear they're taking this, very seriously. And obviously they're hoping that with, $1 billion or more on the line when it comes to TV revenue, that they don't have any slip-ups. And I think they realize, too, like, the situation here in Florida is so dire outside of the bubble. I think it actually gives players a lot of motivation to try to stay safe and not necessarily bend the rules, because ultimately it's not a very safe environment outside of Disney World. If you're, trying to go on a vacation in Orlando right now, you're crazy given how serious the coronavirus cases are, more than 10,000 per day, basically, for the last week. I mean, that's a lot of cases, and they're not necessarily reversing course on their COVID policies. So I think that's what the NBA is trying to do, is create an environment that's safer inside than outside, and then just encouraging and teaching players how they can live and still have some fun. I mean, you're seeing guys going fishing, you're seeing guys going golfing, I mean, trying to find different team activities to just occupy their time and take their mind off of, being bored and trying to break the rules.
Ben, how do you think the NBA has done so far? How do you feel in this Orlando bubble, and how do you think this will ultimately unfold?
Well, I would say this. I mean, right now it's kind of a false sense of security because I can't even leave the hotel room. But, coming in, I was impressed by their welcome procedure. I've been very impressed by their testing procedures, how quick it is, how quick the results come back. You see Major League Baseball, I mean, they haven't had some test results for some teams. They're taking 4 or 5 days to come back. And that's not safe at all, because if you have one guy who's positive, now he has 4 or 5 days to potentially spread it. Here, we're getting our results back within 15 hours. And, they're asking us to fill out questionnaires every single day about if we have symptoms. We're doing self-temperature checks every single day. I mean, it's pretty rigorous. They've done a nice job. And even guys like Dr. Fauci, the expert for the White House, has given their plan a thumbs up. So at least for now, before kind of going out and interacting with anyone, I feel pretty safe. Ultimately, though, if there is a string of tests, I think there's going to be a lot of nerves. I think you heard from a lot of players coming into Orlando. There's just apprehension. A lot of guys didn't want to show up. Some guys decided to sit out and stay home. Other guys kind of came reluctantly. If one team does get hit, if there's a string of positive tests, I think it's going to change the whole mood. But right now, it's sunny, it's humid. Guys are glad to see each other. It feels a little bit like a summer camp. I mean, that was kind of the vibe when I arrived, both within the media and some of the players who were kind of around doing their thing. So I think from that standpoint, they're off to a pretty good start, and hopefully it will stay that way.
Ben Golliver, a national NBA writer with the Washington Post, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. So, Ben, obviously the show is out here in LA tonight. You know, we're focused on 2.5 hours Los Angeles Lakers basketball. You have a column right now. LeBron James' path to a fourth title is getting more difficult by the day. Can you just kind of explain for those who haven't got a chance going to the Washington Post and read your article, just what you mean specifically by that and what you think it's making it more of a challenge?
Well, I mean, obviously Avery Bradley decided to sit out. You know, that's a hit to the rotation. And you have Rajon Rondo with the thumb injury right off the bat. And so now you're down two guards. You're going to have to be turning to guys, you know, like Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, guys who haven't really been big impact players in a while in the NBA, to step in and fill in some minutes there. I think the Lakers' best hope is that Caruso just steps up and has a nice breakout postseason. That's totally possible. I mean, the guy sure. He's been playing great. But I think that's, you know, one of the guys they're going to have to just lean on more heavily. But, you know, ultimately the challenge here for the Lakers is that, you know, this is going to be a test of, you know, your kind of your team's mental toughness, but it's also going to be a test of just how many bodies do you have, right? You need kind of all hands on deck here. And a team like the Clippers, I mean, that's their biggest strength is their depth, you know, top scoring bench in the league. You know, they've got a whole bunch of veterans that they added at the trade deadline, guys who could really be helpful. You know, whether it's Joakim Noah or, you know, Marcus Morris, I mean, kind of Reggie Jackson, the list goes on there. So I just think that, you know, we're all expecting that big showdown, Lakers versus Clippers. And I think it just raises the difficulty level for LeBron is, you know, he was already going to have to be the most important player on that team by a lot. And now he's going to have to do even more ball handling, probably do even more scoring. And he's really going to have to set up Anthony Davis to be sort of an electric number two guy there to really empower him to be sort of like a Dwayne Wade or a Kyrie Irving, but the big man version, you know, some of those guys that LeBron's teamed with in the past. So, you know, it's not to write the Lakers off by any stretch. I mean, there's a possibility that Rondo could theoretically come back during the playoffs because he's, you know, only going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, they said. But still, every injury hurts a lot here. It's just magnified in this particular environment.
Ben, would you give, I was having this conversation a little bit earlier, the show prior to my show, Mason and Ireland, who've been, you know, doing it down here in Southern California for years. One of the conversations was, I feel like there are more people leaning towards the Clippers now than the Lakers. Would you give the Clippers an edge right now as far as walking into this bubble?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I picked them before the season started. The Clippers were my pick over the Bucks, and you know, I haven't seen necessarily anything to change my mind yet. The Lakers had just a magical run through the regular season. And they totally blew my expectations out of the water in terms of how well they played. To me, there's three teams that can really win the title if they're healthy. It's the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks. Everybody else is kind of playing for fourth place behind those guys. And I think the biggest storyline of this entire playoffs, it's kind of like rock, paper, scissors, Kawhi, LeBron, and Giannis, who's going to establish himself firmly as the best player in basketball. I mean, I think that's the number one basketball story that we've got to look forward to here in Orlando. So, you know, from that standpoint, I do think the games are going to be ugly to start. You know, I think defenses are going to have an advantage just because there's been such long layoffs, you know, because some guys are going to be coming in out of shape and everything else. I like all three of those teams, you know, from a defensive standpoint. I think the Clippers, when they're fully healthy, can really ratchet up on that defensive end. They're very versatile, you know, lots of length. They can force turnovers. And ultimately, they have a couple of all-star level you know, scoring options too with Kawhi and Paul George. So I think the combination of their depth, their two-way play, that's probably what gives them an edge for me. But look, you know, it's very hard to handicap this. We haven't seen anybody play basketball since March. This is a longer break than a typical offseason would be. And so, you know, it's anybody's guess.
Ben, final question for you, and I appreciate you taking the time to join Lakers Talk. So just looking at just the structure, obviously home court won't mean anything now. All of a sudden, there are no fans in games and so forth. How do you think this is going to look? How do you think it's going to sound, the feel? I mean, have you spent any time just kind of thinking about what an NBA game is going to be like under these circumstances? Or because it's taken so long to even get to this point and we still have, you know, a couple more weeks to go before the regular season starts that you haven't really given it that much thought?
No, I thought a lot about it. I mean, I think one thing to watch is, you know, normally in a playoff series, if you have an underdog team, they get to go back home for game three, right? And that's when you get that big emotional boost from your home crowd. And if you're not as talented as the top seed team, well, maybe you're able to kind of ride that that crowd boost and extend the series. I wonder if you're in an empty gym in Orlando and you don't have that home court advantage and you're a 7 or an 8 seed and you got to deal with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and you go down 2-0 in the first two games and you don't have the crowd to boost you up, and you're starting to think, well, you know, if we lose here, it's not the end of the world. I get to go home and see my wife. I get to go see my kids. Maybe I get to go on vacation. I get to leave the bubble. You know, do some of those weaker teams start to roll over? That's something that I'm going to be looking for sure, because I can absolutely see it. It's human nature. You know, some people need to be motivated by external factors, and those external factors aren't going to be there. I mean, I think it's going to really come down to, as LeBron said on Saturday, who's got the love for the game, right? It's going to come down to the most competitive people, the people who want to extend their stay here in Orlando, who are chasing the title sort of, you know, by any means necessary. And I think, you know, those top tier teams, and I mentioned three earlier, I would throw the Raptors into that group too, because they're trying to defend their title. They've got a bunch of veteran players. They're coming in great shape. So I think that they deserve to be in this mix as well. But that's one way I've thought about it. In terms of actually watching the game, I think it's going to be super weird. And I'm actually really looking forward to it, because they said that the media seats are going to be about 10 or 15 feet from the court. So we're going to be able to hear every foul. Wow. We're going to be able to hear every bit of trash talk. I mean, it should be a very rich experience for those who get to be in the building.
Yeah, Ben, that's a great way to put it. I didn't even think about that. You know, like you mentioned, Lakers can go up 2-0 in a series, or the Bucks can go up 2-0 in the series, and all of a sudden that game three, that opposing team is like, yep, lights out, this thing's over, let me get out of exactly. The bubble. But that could, you know, that can obviously we're going to be able to tell just based on the effort. But Ben, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you doing this, and great insight. Ben Golver, national NBA writer with the Washington Post. He's got a great article right now on LeBron James and the challenges in front of the Lakers in the Washington Post. So Ben, thank you for doing this, and hopefully we chat soon. All right.
It's my pleasure, man. Take care.
All right. That's Ben Golver. Okay. So over the weekend, we got to hear from LeBron James. We got to hear from Anthony Davis. I got some of that sound when we come back. As always, Laker fans up and down Southern California listening on the ESPN app, we appreciate you tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Curtis, how you doing, brother? Everything going good?
Yeah, it's good. It's kind of weird. I'm kind of, you know, like I told you, I had a cigar, so I'm feeling kind of woozy a little bit from yesterday. But
I'm not one to partake. I don't know what it is. I just can't. Yeah, it's almost like a cigar hangover, right?
That's exactly what I have, and it just doesn't make. I think it's just because I don't smoke regularly, so I'm not used to getting all that nicotine, because it's a lot. If you look at how much is in a cigar. But every time my cousin's in town, we usually have one on like Christmas time. It's like a 2-time-a-year thing, but I haven't seen them. So
There was a phase where I don't know if a lot of people still smoke hookah now, but I remember years ago, everybody was smoking hookah. I don't know what the hell it was. And I had done it a couple times.
I have friends that smoke hookah.
Yeah, Jesse chiming in here.
Hookah master.
Hi, guys. But
how you doing, Jess?
I'm good. Just coming off fresh from the LAFC draw.
Great game, by the way. Great game. And
the second half was great.
Right
the first
now.
Half was kind of meh.
Well, the fact that you're putting up that many goals and, you know, obviously 90 minutes, that's great. I mean, yesterday, I think I was watching. Actually, it ended up 2-1 yesterday. Minnesota ended up winning. But most of the game, there was no scoring at all. So the fact that there was scoring. But let me just say real quick on the hookah. That's another one of those things. It's like, you know, you do it a couple times and I'm like, yeah, it's okay. But that's another one. If you smoke too much hookah, that hangover is awful. And I think, Curtis, that's what you're experiencing right now. A little hangover on the cigar.
Well, I don't know if hookah will even survive after this. Sitting with your friends, you can't do that anymore unless you're 6 feet away.
Oh, my friend is dying because our local hookah lounge is closed.
Yeah, that world. I'll tell you what, that's a vaccine world. That's not a comeback before. You know how we say like some businesses is going to take a vaccine before they open. That's definitely one of them. By the way, Shootout on 710 ESPN or on Lakers Talk tonight is presented by, as always, presented by the Wallace Firm. Call 844-844-WINS for a free consultation and a review of your policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for lost revenue. Again, 844-844-WINS, proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Okay, Curtis, get things started, my man.
All right, we were talking about this before the show. I know we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but I figured this is the why not now? So you saw the Rashawn Holmes thing, the Kings center that accidentally, quote unquote, burst the bubble by going out to pick up his food. And then we had another one.
Not okay, by the way. Yeah, not okay. I mean, I've kind of tried being very loose about this, like, mistakes happen. Here's how I truly, truly, honestly feel. If players know what they're doing and they leave the bubble, I mean, it is such a risk of stopping this entire, restart and everything else. And think about all the money that's been poured in to try and, make this thing happen. And think about how many fans are just hoping and praying that we get, some basketball and kind of get a chance to just watch sports again, watch live sports again. It is incredibly, incredibly careless to say, well, I just left to go pick up from a food delivery. Like, I don't know what else to tell you, but I don't know how this isn't getting more news. Well, say that.
Did you there's a kind of side story. Did you see what Kelly Oubre tweeted?
What'd he say?
He kind of let the cat out of the bag that food service deliveries will deliver to you in the bubble, but he failed to mention that it has to be basically within your hotel complex. So right after all that happened with the Kings player, I saw a bunch of reaction on Twitter that it was a tale of two sides, because it was one side, Kelly Oubre was tweeting, hey, food delivery service is going to deliver, or it's possible for you to, pick up food delivery service. And then, a couple minutes later, it's Shams tweeting out that, what's the player's name?
Rashawn Holmes
is, in quarantine because he broke the protocol.
Yeah, I'm reading Rashawn, his statement. After the initial quarantine period, I briefly and accidentally crossed the NBA campus line to pick up a food delivery. I'm currently in quarantine and have 8 days left. I apologize for my actions. Look forward to rejoining my teammates for our playoff push. Hopefully this is a good example, by the way, that, you just can't have this happen. Like, you honestly can't have this happen. You screw up and you could be a team. You could be a player on a team that's got no shot. You could mess up the entire bubble and, I hope the players respect the rule. I'd be lying to you if I told you that everybody within this Orlando bubble is going to, not break the rule at some point. But Curtis, where were you taking this?
I guess just the issue is, it seems like I know your answer, but did you believe his excuse? Because you really have to, intentionally go out of your way to go do that. So it's like, it's very not believable, but this won't be the first time the NBA has to deal with this either.
Well, you saw that Bruno Caboclo of the Rockets, he unintentionally left the bubble. And I don't understand. Like, for me, it's like, I don't know how you don't know, but I'm not there. So I don't know the steps. You know what my vision is of the setup? It's almost as if like I don't feel the way they've spent so much money on security to kind of figure this whole thing out. My vision is like they can't leave, but I'm obviously wrong. And somebody, Tim Bontemps, who was on with Mason Island, he did say that there is kind of some gray area of what is in and what is out. So maybe it was genuine, but to be honest with you, I'm not going to give anybody the benefit of the doubt, because if you're putting this entire thing in jeopardy, that's a tough pill to swallow with how much, this league is trying to figure this thing out and make it work. And it's the only league where everybody feels most confident, has the best chance of getting it done, but you got a couple careless players that can ruin everything.
Yeah, and then I know Ben talked about it. They were talking about that band that's tracking them. Do you know that? I think they just repurposed
Disney Magic Band.
So the thing's interesting about this, Jess might know more too, but so Disneyland and World were already working on this band, because last time you went to Disneyland, it was supposed to replace the fast passes and all that.
Well, yeah. Walt Disney World, that Magic Band is
just
your
started
key.
Like a couple months ago.
Right? No, it's actually been in Orlando for quite some time now. That
So it's the key to get into your hotel room?
It's the key to get in your hotel room. You can link your debit card in it. The point of that ban, it was made for people who are visiting the Walt Disney World Resort. That's basically, you have everything on your wrist. So you don't have to carry your wallet. You don't have to carry a key card. It's basically your key to the entire resort. And, you know, it's smart. And they've been trying to implement it onto the, you know, the parks here. But it's kind of different, you know, in Orlando. It's big, and I'm telling you, and I do not exaggerate, that entire resort is humongous.
What's the size of it? How many Disneylands or something like that? Isn't it like 10 or something like that?
I don't know how many Disneylands, but I'm going to tell you this way. So the entire size of the Magic Kingdom parking lot, which is the Disneyland equivalent in Orlando. So it has like, that's in Orlando, the Magic Kingdom has the castle, it has Splash Mountain, it has Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the equivalent to Disneyland here. Their parking lot,
wow.
Their parking lot for that park alone is as big as the entire California Adventure, which is the other park that's here.
Wow.
That parking lot, just the parking lot.
Well, is it, and didn't Disney World just open some of their parks this past weekend?
They opened Magic Kingdom last weekend, and I think they also opened Animal Kingdom, and then they're going to open Hollywood Studios and Epcot next. Mm. I think today at Epcot, they had a cast member preview.
Yeah, meanwhile, here they opened Downtown Disney, but I don't know how long that's going to last.
Oh, man, that line is massive.
They did Downtown Disney.
That it opened up on this weekend, and the line literally wrapped around.
So wait, why are you going to – you're just going to Downtown Disney just to shop?
Yeah. Oh, believe me,
they have some, like, pop-ups of, like, hey, here's a VR experience thing.
But see, no, I'm pretty sure that's closed, too. The only reason people are going to the Downtown Disney is go to the World of Disney store to buy all that Disney merch.
Yeah, so it's money.
And yeah, because that's what people do. I saw pictures last weekend on the AP preview for...
No, it's a great store. It's an amazing store. And all the restaurants they have there. And, you know, it's obviously... and it's all outdoor, right? You know, like outdoor in the sense that you could sit outdoors. So maybe they're able to kind of follow some of those guidelines.
I mean, they're having trouble... some issues, but it's kind of like the same when you go to a store. You know, it's how can you really abide and really force?
You can only do so much,
exactly.
Yeah, and that's got to be. You know, at the end of the day, restaurants and all these places can try everything they can, but they need, you know, they need their customers to be the ones that follow it. Okay, let me get into a quick story here. So, yesterday, this kind of came out of nowhere. I got an email a few days ago, maybe last week or so, that my gym was opening back up. And I think I had mentioned to you guys, we've had this conversation. Would you go to a gym? Would you go to a restaurant? You know, we've had those conversations in the past. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, let me call the gym and let me see how this thing works, because I don't even know, you know, how it works. And she explained it to me. She's like, look, this is how we're doing it. And I go to the LA Athletic Club, which is here in downtown. Fantastic gym. Been there for years. I've played basketball there for years. So that's why I love the gym. Okay, so I call, and she's basically telling me, okay, if you want to shoot around and play basketball, you can have half of the court for half hour. And there's, you know, obviously it's a full court gym. So somebody could reserve one half. Other person could reserve the other half. Half hour goes by, new people come in. So I'm like, okay, all right, that seems reasonable. And then she goes, okay, upstairs, you can reserve that. I think you could reserve it for up to an hour and a half. You're not reserving it, but they're keeping, you know, X amount of people that are up there. So fellas, I went. I haven't been to downtown LA in a long time, okay? I haven't spent time in downtown LA in a long time. So it was kind of a trip to me, just because I know the both of you have been in, you know, LA Live because you're either producing or board op, whatever the case is. For us, we haven't, and we won't go. I'll get there for the Lakers' first regular season game. Myself, Ireland, and Michael Thompson will get there.
I'm looking at the TV you guys will be staring at.
Exactly. So that's exactly what we'll be doing. So I'm looking at – I get to the gym, and I get in. Right off the bat, you got to put gloves on. You grab a towel. That's the towel that you're going to use. You have to use hand sanitizer, and they take your temperature. And fellas, all good. No problem at all. But let me tell you something. By far the biggest trip at all, and I was mentioning this to Mason Ireland, they're like, wow, you went to the gym. Like, you know, there wasn't a soul there. I mean, that's the only thing that stood out to me. And maybe because this is new, maybe because it was on a Sunday afternoon, I don't know all the reasons. Maybe, you know, today it's a lot different because it's a Monday. Most people go to the gym, you know, during the week. But that was not a good feeling for someone who obviously feels for other businesses. And I'm just, you know, I had the half court. I had the hoop to myself for 30 minutes. I could have easily stayed there for longer if I wanted to, right? Like I could have told them because there was nobody on the other side, nobody else coming. Kind of surreal. Like I really genuinely feel bad for these businesses. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I really don't. I mean, we saw what Governor Newsom said today. We're still in the thick of it. And now they're closing things again rather than opening. So it wasn't the experience that I think any of us want to see for these gyms and these restaurants, but that was not a good feeling yesterday.
Is it more eerie that kind of everything got shut down again today and you went yesterday? Does that kind of add to it? Because that's, I mean, if I had went yesterday to the gym and then I get the news today that it's going to be shut down again, I'd be feeling kind of like, whoa, like I just did something to kind of get my routine back to normal. And then all of a sudden it's gone again. It's shut. It's just shut down.
So it's a reality check. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's just, I mean, the cases are just going up and I know we're testing a lot more and everything else, but they don't feel comfortable with what's happening. Right. So if they don't feel comfortable, then there's a reason for it. And, you know, Curtis and I were talking about this earlier. Curtis, didn't you say you thought of your dry cleaner right away? Or no, I'm sorry.
I thought of Sonia. Shout out to Sonia. She doesn't listen, so it's whatever. But it's a haircut lady.
You never know.
Oh, that's what you said.
She's down the street from me. It's literally only her in like a barber shop with like four chairs. And she's been, you know, working out of there 8 a.m. to 8 every Monday through Friday.
Baller.
Her whole life, you know. And you know, my first thought was her because I got a haircut in. I mean, she was open for maybe a month. But then seeing this.
Now she closes again, right? Yeah, like, isn't that.
My county, Ventura even, you know, we're smaller. But even us, we're on that list. So that's my first thought because I think that's immediate.
30 plus counties on that list. And, of course, you know, Los Angeles County on that list. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, let me say this about the basketball part. I never knew I could get so winded at just shooting around. It's been so long.
Wait, and so by you're the way, the sharpshooter your friend said, "Come on,
winded,
Alan.
Winded." You know what I mean by winded?
That you're tired. You're
I was
exhausted.
Just getting tired, so I could still hit the shots. But let me tell you something.
All right. That's all that matters. As long as you can hit the shots.
Don't have the feet under you.
No, but listen. This is the funny thing. Is like I would shoot around, and like 3 minutes would go by, and I'm like, I'm out of breath. I mean, that's how. Rod Swanson, that's a good one. But I'm literally out of breath. Like I was out of breath just shooting around. But it was, man, it was amazing to get shots back up. How about this guy told me in the beginning, they just opened. He didn't know. He said, you have to wear gloves when you shoot around. So I'm like, wear gloves?
That must have been weird.
Well, no, I'm like, I can't even grip the ball. What do you mean wear gloves? You know, here's these latex gloves, right? So I am.
Gloves. It'll help you hold on to it better.
That's there cheating. I am on the other end. I'm shooting around. And I'm like, this can't be right. Like, they can't be telling people to put gloves on. And then I went back to him. I'm like, are you sure we're supposed to wear gloves? I'm like, I literally can't grip the ball. And he goes, let me go ask again. And he asked somebody else. And they're like, no, you don't have to have gloves on.
I like saying no. It lowers their enthusiasm.
It was just Ron's perfect.
So right
the gloves are only required when you go probably do weights and all that and hit machines and all that.
Yeah.
See, that
so
makes more sense.
If you're upstairs, you can't take the gloves off. If you're downstairs, and you know you're shooting, you're playing basketball, whatever the case is. But I don't know how it's all going to kind of unfold for a lot of these places. It is one thing I am noticing with a lot of restaurants. You guys noticing this? They're using some of their parking lot to make outdoor seating. Have you noticed that?
No, I never. I barely leave. I leave for work, and that's it. So I haven't really, you know, gone too much places.
So
but
are you talking
sense.
About like different businesses, or like a Dodger Stadium, or like an Angel Stadium, stuff like that?
I'm talking about businesses right now that, let's say, were predominantly all indoor seating, right?
Yes.
What they're doing now is outside of their business.
Because yeah, it's technically they're taking, outside seating.
They're taking like three parking spots, and they're putting up 7-8 tables.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that, which is fantastic. I actually went to a restaurant on Friday. It was actually just for lunch, but that's exactly how they did it. I was in Pasadena yesterday and some different restaurants in Pasadena where maybe they had a few seats outside. Now this is pretty much all their seats, so they're trying to accommodate because it's the only way they could do it.
I like that idea, though.
I love it.
In parking lots, you totally have way more space to make sure that the tables are, you know,
100%
properly spaced out. You're outside, so, you know, there's less fear of not wearing a mask when you're eating. Because especially, you know, for outside patios, the patios for the most part are small. The tables are pretty much kind of close. You know, I would wear my mask like on one ear and just let it hang and then eat and then kind of put it on maybe 100%. Again.
Yeah, you don't even have to.
Comfortable outside in the parking lot.
If you're eating, you know, obviously you don't have to. It could be a little bit different. But the nice thing is for these restaurants that set up outdoor, first of all, we're in the summer. So a nice summer night, like that's fantastic. People want to be outdoor anyways. But yes, they're just using they have all these tables. They have all these chairs. Like they're just using whatever they would use inside, now taking it outside. And, you know, obviously accommodating to that as well. But what's the other option? There really isn't another alternative.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is they're finding ways to basically survive.
Keep their doors open.
Yeah, and if that's what it takes, I mean, that's what it takes. You know, I can't be mad at businesses just trying to find some kind of way to stay open.
Feel awful for them. Mm-hmm. But this is look, we'll see. I mean, maybe if we, again, kind of take these measures, maybe it, you know, brings down the number a ton as well. Jess, what do you got over there? You got something or you want?
You want to know what's funny? I actually didn't have anything, but I'm looking at all the page where I put the Ron Swanson things. And there's actually one shootout. It's a question from Shootout like a long time ago that I have.
Let's hear it. What do you got?
Let's do it. So this was probably a month ago. D. Wade was on a Zoom conference with his 06 Heat team.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw this, but he gets asked what championship Heat team would win. So basically the 06 versus 13 team. And this is what he said.
But listen, this is the problem with majority of the NBA
and
guys.
Never mind. It looks like that cut's been overwritten.
Well, just to kind of answer that question, I'll tell you this. I'll say that I'm going with 13. LeBron James, Chris Bosh. I know Shaq's on that 06 team, but Shaq.
Not the same Shaq.
That wasn't the Shaq. Mm-mm. That was freaking demolishing the NBA from 2000 or 98 to let's say 2005. So I'm what did he say? Do you remember what he said or
yeah,
no?
He said 13 team because yeah, I remember 13. He said, you know, he takes the 13 and everyone on the 06 team was basically capping on him. What? No, blah, blah, blah. But
I'm with him.
I mean, who else besides D-Wade and Shaq literally was on that 06 team that made like a significant impact?
And it wasn't the Shaq. You know, that's what it comes down to. It just wasn't the Shaq that we're accustomed to. So
Who was the finals MVP in that 06 championship?
Wade.
That should kind of say it all right there.
Sure.
If Shaq was on your team and he wasn't your finals MVP, he was definitely the
And Wade
the same
single-handedly,
Shaq.
You know, really carried that Miami team.
Oh,
Curtis,
yeah.
I know you had a few of them there. Why don't you squeeze in one more? Go.
Yeah, real quick. Did you see what happened on NBA 2K last night?
NBA 2K, I heard that. So what happened? AD and LeBron and Quinn Cook joined or something along those lines?
There's a lot of explanation if you don't really understand 2K, but basically it's like when you play online with your buddies, you're put into this like...
It's like a lobby.
It's like it's a giant city that works as the lobby where you can run around and like play with other people. So Quinn Cook was trying to get LeBron and AD all together. And, you know, you're on a server with hundreds of other people, but they found, you know, they saw Quinn Cook on his Twitch or whatever he was on trying to get LeBron and AD to team up together. Basically, you have to, like, stand next to each other. They couldn't do it because hundreds of people found them in the lobby and started following them. So you see hundreds of avatars of people following, you know, they're all custom created characters or whatever. But LeBron, AD, and Quinn Cook have models of themselves running around, so you know who it is when you find them. But it was just hundreds of people running around chasing them, and they crashed it. They crashed the 2K servers.
Did they really?
Yeah,
okay, so what do you mean they crashed it? Like you just can't get in?
So, basically, that lobby that holds the hundreds of people shut down immediately, and they had to reopen it.
You know that would be like literally the it's the equivalent of. LeBron, AD, and Quinn Cook,
yeah,
at a hotel like lobby. You know what
exactly.
I mean? It's overrun. There's people there, security. So gaming isn't that far off from what it would be in real life.
And you want to know another fun thing about that? They eventually had found a chance to play a game, and somehow LeBron, he reenacted his finals block against Iggy.
Almost to the spot. I don't know how he got that character to do it, but he pretty
It was like
there's not that much precision. Like
same exact, you know. It's I think Quinn got the ball stolen from him, and the opponent is just driving down full court, and you just see another player, which is LeBron
timing
just
it
hit
up.
It right on the back. It was almost the exact same play. It was pretty cool to see. I saw it on this morning on like a replay because I saw the servers crash, and I was like, of course.
I love watching, genuinely love watching. That finals was just incredible. You know, when they were down 3-1, the way they came back, Draymond finding a way to get suspended, the game seven where they go 4 minutes, I think, without scoring, and then finally J.R. Smith or Kyrie hits that three. Yeah, that's one of the best. And that's one of the most iconic moments in NBA history, NBA finals history, is LeBron with that block. Okay, I know we're running up to time here. We got Joe Vardon from The Athletic coming up next. Jesse Curtis, thank you, fellas. Appreciate you doing that. By the way, plus for Power 5 tonight, your top 5 room service orders. All we're hearing about is the room service, right? So we'll do that coming up at 8:45. Joe Vardon coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So closer and closer to live sports, that's where we are right now. Crazy to think we've gone probably over 115 days or so doing these shows Monday through Friday. And, you know, to get to this point where I'm watching LAFC in Houston earlier today in MLS. Obviously, the Galaxy's on right now against Portland. I know a lot of Dodger fans watching some of these inner squads. And then the Los Angeles Lakers. We're not too far away. I've enjoyed these last couple of this last week or so where we get to hear from Laker players on a daily basis, pretty much a daily basis, get to hear from head coach Frank Vogel. And today the big news, well, really it was yesterday, that Rajon Rondo out 6 to 8 weeks. So one of the things that we'll do right now, we'll get a chance to chat Los Angeles Lakers basketball, but also talk about this, just some of the details of this bubble. Joe Vardon from The Athletic taking some time to join the show. Joe, thank you for doing this, bud. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I love coming on with you guys.
Well, I'll start off with this. You've got a great article right now in The Athletic that just talks about life inside the bubble, the nasal swabs, your four walls, and Dwight parties alone. I love that. I love the... And I know the context of that. For those who don't know what you're talking about Dwight Howard, can you explain what happened with AD yesterday that explained this little bit of this pool party where sounds like Dwight was the only one to show?
So the NBA went to great lengths, obviously, to plan this whole thing. Every aspect of the bubble you can think of. And it included figuring out some ways to entertain the players, you know, given they're going to be on this campus for at least 6 weeks before they see any of their significant others or family or whatever. And so, you know, you got to find some stuff for these guys to do. And they came up with golf and bowling and video games and a cool little players lounge. And then they came up with this idea of that they were going to have pool parties with, like, quasi-famous DJs. Now, don't ask me the names of the DJs because I don't know. I can't help you. I can't.
I'm with you. Don't worry. I'm with you on that one. Don't worry.
But and for all the planning that the NBA executed very well, I would say, they missed a few on this one. Namely, that like the reason a pool party works at Vegas is because there's lots of alcohol and there's lots of, you know, women or there's lots of just lots of, you know, a lot.
The
lot
vibe
of
is good. Sure.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know that like Kyle Korver and, you know, Jared.
That's
Dunley
not going to get it done. That's not going to get it done.
That's not it. So like nobody went to these things on Saturday night except for Dwight Howard. which is like I'm beside myself. Like I don't know how this could possibly happen. That no one, that he wouldn't have texted any of his buddies.
I love that it's Dwight.
it's perfect Dwight. And the way we find out about this in part, like yes, there was some Instagram stuff, but you know, Anthony Davis, I actually asked him about this yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I didn't know about it until today. Dwight told me about it. I guess he was the only one there.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
Well, that is pretty funny. I mean, listen, everything that's going on and that's going to go on for the next couple months in Orlando, and hopefully, you know, obviously they're there till October 12th or 13th, and the NBA succeeds with his plan. But everything is different. Everything is new, you know? So I'm sure for us to just consume some of this media or consume some of these storylines is interesting for the media, interesting for fans out there. But that was I had to ask you about that one because I thought that was pretty funny. So, Joe, can you tell me a little bit your experience so far, and maybe you can even offer your reasoning for wanting to be there. Did you have some hesitation or no? This is something that if you had that opportunity, you definitely wanted to be in Orlando.
Yeah, Alan, I think I want to start there. I had no hesitation for this, and I do have a family at home, but I feel like when you are fortunate enough to have the job that I have, that you're signing up for the big events in the sport that you cover. And, you know, when you sign up for that job, you don't know that something like the whole world changing over a pandemic is going to happen. You know, I was supposed to be at the Olympics this summer or whatever, but this is the deal. I mean, this is the biggest thing going. It's never happened before. We hope it never happens again. And I knew, you know, that this really, I was going to go with a chance to chronicle some history. And like you said, we hope it all works. And we hope that we crown a champion, and we hope that this is this wonderful story of how this league banded together to successfully navigate a pandemic and finish the year and probably. But there's also the possibility, like, and I wrote in the story, I said that Saigon falls again, and that's possible. You know, the bubble could break and they may have to shut down, and you have these 22 teams down here. But I mean, it could be total chaos, and it would be certainly the kind of thing that you would want to be a witness to. So, yeah, I mean, I signed up for it willingly. You know, I knew that it would be difficult. Some of the circumstances would be, you know, you asked me what it's been like. I mean, the thing about it for me is that I had been to Coronado Resort before. That's where the media hotel is, and the Lakers are staying at the new tower right over here. Like I was just here last March of 2019 on vacation, before before the playoffs hit. And so when I pulled up, I didn't feel like I was going anywhere special, and, checkout was quiet, and I got into my room fairly quickly. And, you know, I mean, the thing about it, and it's the thing that I'm writing about tomorrow, is just this idea that once a day, for the next 2 or 3 months, I'm going to get a cotton swab down my throat and up my nose to find out if I have a disease that can kill me. Like if you think about it, like if you have cancer, like God forbid, you know, you get a cancer screening every 3 months, maybe every 6 months. You know, if you have to get something like an HIV test or whatever, like that's not something you do every day, and you're really nervous until the results. I mean, yeah, you know, you got to do that every day while you're here. And the NBA thinks that there is enough chance that you might get a positive that they are mandating this. Like that's how serious this is. And that is a little jarring to me. Just kind of the gravity of that. You know, I think that the other thing that needs to be addressed is the food situation here. On a lighter note, there's all these pictures, and I know the players are complaining. I post the pictures of the food as well.
How's the spread, Joe?
It's, It's good. It tastes fine. The thing about it is the food isn't photographing well because it's all wrapped up in stuff that is sanitary. You know, I mean, everybody's taking the extra precaution and they're also environmentally conscious here. So, you know, these wraps that are wrapped in biodegradable cellophane, if that's even possible, I don't know, but that's what it is. And like, that just doesn't look as good as if you're at some 4-star, 5-star restaurant with tablecloths and china and all that stuff. So I think it's the aesthetics of the food, because when you eat it, it tastes good.
Well, listen, I'm just, you know, noticing a picture on Twitter, and from what I see a pretty damn good croissant, couple eggs, orange juice. Looks like you got some trail mix there and some apples, a Keurig for your coffee. It's not a bad setup, Joe.
That's not bad. Setup at all. They feed you.
In your article, I'd love for you to kind of get a little further into this. In The Athletic right now, Joe Vardon, inside the NBA bubble, nasal swabs, my four walls, and I already told you the Dwight story as he parties alone. But you mentioned that this is costing the NBA nearly $170 million. Can you just talk about, if you can detail out a little bit, not where are all the costs going, how it's working, but as best as you can, how do you get to $170 million? And they're obviously only doing it because there's obviously a lot of profit out there if they can make this happen.
Yeah, I mean, what's the old adage that you have to spend money to make money? I mean, in this case, they had to spend some money here to make sure that they can get the roughly $1 billion that are on the table because of the playoffs with TV money. So, you know, you had to come up with the cost. There were going to be costs somewhere, whether it was Vegas or whether it was Disney. And you know, there's this unique relationship, obviously, between the NBA and Disney/ESPN. I mean, ESPN and its parent company is paying the league roughly $1.3 billion a year. But then at the same time, you know, the NBA is coming to ask for, you know, access to their arenas and these three very posh hotels and all these amenities and perks like with golf, and not to mention, this is a big part of my story tomorrow, this BioReference Laboratories, who is doing the testing. You know, you're talking several thousand, I mean, maybe 100,000, I don't know, thousands and thousands of tests for everybody here every day from now until October. I mean, that is a pretty penny. And so it adds up, you know. I mean, like, I'm not sure exactly how many hotel rooms they've had to block off, but I don't think any of these three hotels have anybody from the outside in it. So that's an expense for Disney, lost revenue. And it kind of just goes on down the line. I mean, there are going to be after-hours events for at least the players, you know, at the parks where you can go and ride rides that have been cleaned and it's just them. You know, they're going to be able to go and bowl at Splitsville over there at Disney Springs. You know, in Anaheim, they kind of have something like that, too. They're going to do that here. And so, you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that. They've got to pay the DJs to come and play to nobody in particular other than Dwight, you know? So that's what it costs, but it's certainly worth it.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic joining Lakers Talk. So Joe, I want to stay with this for a quick second, because is the testing done? If I'm right, is the lab that you mentioned, are these all, is it a private lab? Are they basically paying for the tests privately? And I think you'll know where I'm going with this question, but do you have an answer to that question or no?
Yeah, I do. I mean, this is a private lab.
Mm-hmm.
It's about an hour and 15 minutes from here. It's on the east coast of Florida in Melbourne, Florida. And it's a national company that has labs in five states, Florida, Texas, out there with you guys, and California, and then Maryland and New Jersey. And as you know, and as certainly as I know, and as the NBA knows, that there is a narrative out there that it's bad that these rich athletes have access to all these tests when the public doesn't have them.
Sure.
And I presented that in my story for tomorrow to the CEO of this lab, and he just said that is just categorically untrue in this case. He said that his lab has a testing capacity of 50,000 to 70,000 tests a day. And so by that, you know, measure, you know, they're also doing the testing for the MLS here, mm-hmm. which is also going on at Disney. I'm watching the LA Galaxy.
Yeah, in Portland.
Yeah. And
Chicharito missed a wide open shot right there.
Wide open. Come on, man. You got to find the net. But listen, so, you know, they're doing the testing for both leaks. Mm-hmm. He said it's still a fraction of what we bring in. He said that they had ramped up, you know, testing capacity and manpower and machinery at their lab. And that if anybody goes to the front of the line, it would be like the tests from people who are actually at the hospital. So, you know, I think for like my two cents with that, Alan, is in March when the NBA shut down and people were kind of giving them the stink eye over, the Jazz and the Thunder having access to tests in Oklahoma City when the public couldn't get them. And I think that was somewhat legitimate. And the NBA was really concerned about that imagery and the politics behind it. And that was a major thing in how long it took for the NBA to come up with a plan to restart. They were not going to do it until testing was readily available in the United States. They just weren't going to do it. Well, by June, that mm-hmm. like testing was more available throughout the mm-hmm. country. And something else happened. And we know this, like regardless of your politics, we can say that the decisions were made at the highest and lowest levels of government over how we were going to handle this virus, what we were going to do, how we were going to respond long term. And those decisions were made. And then also at the same time, our people made decisions as to how they were going to live their lives, if they were going to go places and if they were going to wear masks. And so at that point, okay, the decisions are being made. The NBA was well within its rights to put together its own plan, which included testing, and to begin to implement it. And then now that we're here, another month and a half later, the sort of ramifications of those decisions made by our political leaders and by our people, you know, are kind of blowing back on us, but that's not the NBA's fault. And so I kind of feel like, you know, it's the decisions that we made and the decisions our leaders made that kind of led the country down this path. I mean, the NBA at some point has its right to do what it needs to do to make its money. And they felt that they needed to have testing every day in order to be able to safely do this restart so they can recoup their $1 billion. And I'm sorry, I don't fault them for it.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic. Joe, I'll leave you with this final question. How critical do you think, just based upon how you laid it out perfectly, of the background of testing and how some of that's coming? And it sounds like you got a great article coming tomorrow that will give more details on that front. How critical are these next 2 weeks for the NBA now that everybody is in the Orlando bubble and I guess you could say keeping things under control?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think this is a critical stretch, and it's a critical stretch in part because we know Russ Westbrook and probably James Harden too has COVID, and they had it before the Rockets left, and nobody else in the Rockets tested positive. Today we find out that only two players upon arriving here in Orlando tested positive. And it seems like the league was able to successfully isolate them without the disease spreading. And so that was the first kind of hurdle, and the league appears to have cleared it. You know, you kind of do feel like if you can get through these early stages with no further outbreak, that would be significant. And as you get closer and as you get further into the playing and then the playoffs, I feel like you probably have a lesser chance of losing a season. So, you know, I think there's reason to be cautiously optimistic. This bubble does have potential holes. So far, those holes have not been exploited, but just kind of have to hope that it continues that way.
If you do not follow Joe, follow him at Joe Varden on Twitter. Joe, I appreciate the time. Looking forward to reading your article tomorrow, and thank you for doing this. All right.
Yeah, it was my pleasure always.
All right, thank you, Joe. All right, that's Joe Varden from The Athletic. All right, that's three different folks we got a chance to hear from Orlando. Gotta love that, by the way. It gives us a great insight. I love the way he broke down the way the NBA is getting his tests and so forth. So great to get all that insight. Okay, Power 5 coming up next. Top 5 room service orders. Top 5. Just lay down your list. Top 5 room service orders. All I'm hearing about is everybody ordering room service from Orlando. I just want to know, check into a hotel and order room service. That's coming up next. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, by the way, just a quick reminder, I am doing a Lakers Talk on social on ESPN Los Angeles, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, all that stuff. So Periscope, doing that right after this. We'll do it for about a half hour or so. So we'll talk to all our listeners from just social media. Okay, so Curtis, all we have heard about these last couple of days is what the room service food looks like. And it's funny, everybody we talk to, and you know, I'm obviously thankful to have Mark Medina on, Ben Golliver, and Joe Varden. All three of them are in the Orlando bubble. But I'm looking at the spread, Curtis. It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not as rough as they're making it sound.
Okay, so if you're going to order room service, just give me an item, I'll give you an item. What are some of your go-to top 5 room service orders as we do our Power 5? Give me an item that's a go-to staple for you.
I'm going to go through the stuff I got when I went to Bristol I got hired here. So I got pizza one night.
Okay, so stay with
never
that.
Wrong with pizza.
You went pizza. 100% pizza's on my list.
They got a nice bar downstairs too that got the good pizza.
I could do pizza all day long. You guys know I watch those pizza reviews on YouTube, so we know I'm having pizza. All right, give me another item.
I'm a big fan of any kind of like pulled pork-ish, something like that sandwich, a barbecue-ish, some sandwich that's like, hey, this is barbecued up, something like
okay.
that. Easy.
I got a staple top 5 room service orders. How about some wings?
That's good. I love wings.
I mean, you take, I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter. If I'm wherever I'm at, if I can get some wings in, I'm good to go. So there's my second item. Give me another item.
My number one that I had multiple times in Bristol was sushi. I love it. Ah. You can't go wrong. I mean, you got to get the right sushi, but I mean, you
could go wrong. Yeah. You could go wrong if it's the wrong place. Okay, I'm gonna go with just a nice old fashioned hamburger. So let me get a hamburger. Let me throw some tomatoes, some pickles, some onions, some lettuce, a slice of cheese on there, and I could go with some burger and fries. There's another item that I got. Give me another one. I'm starving right now.
I know, right? Every night. It's not a night unless we talk about food. What for dessert? I'm looking. I got to get something with ice cream, man. I love mochi specifically, but that's not a common thing, but some sort of ice cream always.
Okay, so before I get into my dessert, let me just throw one other thing out there. How about some pancakes in the morning? Can I get some pancakes, some eggs in the morning? That's another room service order. And then my final one to end it off, can I do some scoop of vanilla and a scoop of chocolate? I'm with you, bro. I mean, if you're going to do ice cream, give me a scoop of each of those guys, and I'm good to go. Did we leave anything out?
Other thing was going to be, I'm a big fan of, hey, I'll get the free breakfast because, you know, breakfast, it's easy to do. And it's always, every place you go to has got usually a pretty good breakfast
right
setup.
Now.
Oh, I'm going to try and
starving
get food
right
on the
now.
Way home.
Okay, these were, I looked online just to see what are popular top 5 or top room service orders. Club sandwich was all over the place. Caesar salad was there. Bowl of fruit. Who can't do a bowl of fruit?
I think it's keeping it simple.
Yeah, it is keeping it simple. So I'm hearing all these people at the hotels. I'm seeing all the food. I'm like, yeah, I like that food. I could get that food. All right, Curtis, thank you, brother. Appreciate you handling stuff today. Back tomorrow, by the way, 6:30 to 9. Crosstalk at 6 o'clock, as always, with Mason and Ireland. LA, come join me on ESPN Los Angeles. We'll do Lakers Talk for another half hour. As always, appreciate you guys tuning in. This is 710 ESPN.